And now let's catch up with Kevin Wooster in Rapid City. Kevin, welcome back.
It's good to be back.
All right. You survived the truck incident, and you live to tell the story, and it's always good when you've survived something to have a great get a great story out of it, right?
I like living to tell the story. So far, I've lived to tell a lot of stories.
Let's keep it going.
And I don't think I was in any danger of losing my life, but I certainly had was going to lose my pickup to the creek if I hadn't come out of my reverie just about 2 seconds before I actually went all the way down into the creek.
All right. If you weren't with us last week, Kevin Wooster's blog is at sdpb.org/Wooster, and he was telling the story. And Kevin, catch people up with what exactly happened that day that they can go online and read about. Now, for a little break from all these serious topics, maybe you might want to go check out that blog today.
Well, you know, I went out fishing. There was actually a double day because I went fishing with the Mays boys for a blog, which I've yet to get to. I'll get there, I promise. And that was a great experience in about 4-foot waves in a boat that I thought was a little bit too small, but right. They did a great job getting me back there with my life intact. And then I went up the canyon to do a little fly fishing and lost a landing net, which I talk about how I do that, but caught 2 wild rainbows in a stretch of the Spearfish Canyon and Spearfish Creek. That's probably the only place in the Black Hills that actually has wild rainbow trout reproduction. And I'll talk about the trout situation with different species and things in there. And these are beautiful wild fish, and I caught a couple of those and released those, and also released my landing net. And got back to the car feeling pretty good when I noticed I was in the car, and my wife just gets tired of my spacey behavior sometimes when I'm with fairly expensive or potentially dangerous equipment, which is one of the reasons my dad told me not to be a farmer, because I kill myself and possibly somebody else. And and I was getting ready to leave the parking lot up there along the creek and put my foot in the clutch and had my foot on the brake. And somehow when I saw fish rise down on the creek again, I got distracted and took my foot off the brake. And it didn't take long to end up going over the side a little bit down there, quite a ways over the side, I guess. But you know what happens? You end up in a situation like that, and you come back, and then you meet people, because people stop when they see a pickup parked that way, sort of parked with its nose down over there. People concerned, and then people helpful. And it's amazing the people I met there, you know, including a fellow from Sioux Falls that just had a wonderful ex-Marine, or I don't know, is it once a Marine, always a Marine?
Right, yeah, right? You don't say ex, yeah.
I'm sorry. So a Marine.
We'll let it go.
that was there and had a wonderful Facebook post earlier about the proper treatment of the American flag. Mm. And so we had that conversation, and I met a couple of people from Texas, and they had tow ropes, and it all worked out great. In fact,
it turns into an exercise in patriotism by the time that you're done. Isn't that interesting?
By the time I was done, yes. I was thinking about proper respect for veterans and flags and remembering the Alamo
at the
demand of the Texans. So that's kind of where it is.
I really like this notion of you know, you're stuck, and the next thing that happens is people stop to help you. And I remember getting stranded on the highway once with my daughter, and she was nervous, and I said, okay, here's what's going to happen next. People are going to start helping us. And I had to prepare her for the fact that, you know, this is a normal part of the process, and here's how you do this safely, but don't freak out about the fact that, you know, people are going to want to help, and that's okay. I had to teach her that. And during our first time we were stranded, it wasn't the last time, I'm afraid to say.
So well, and coincidentally, I was having a conversation this morning with Lee Schoenbeck, who's a lawyer in Watertown and a former state legislator and a former state's attorney in Webster. Could be someday a governor's candidate, we'll see. But he was talking about a race to the legislature. We talked a great deal about the water issue up in the Northeast with meandered lakes and non-meandered lakes. And I got to get up there and do some blogging on that. Got some ideas this morning. But Lee talked about a time when he was racing to get to the legislature in winter and rolled his car. And it was really scary. I mean, because rolled it 3 times. Ends up out in the field up by Oneida somewhere, and upright, ended up upright with a seatbelt, you know, windows cracked, broken out of it, most of the windows, had to kick the back door out to get out, standing out in the middle of the field with papers blown all over and the door open in a business suit. And he said the first 3 cars rode by, he put his hand up to get one to stop, and the guy waved back, kept on driving. He said, wait a minute, I'm in South Dakota. We stop for these things. And then the next guy stopped. But he said, the first three or four guys go by, I said, well, this isn't what we do. Come on. And then, of course, pretty
maybe
soon,
they knew he was a lawmaker on his way to
pier.
They
may have recognized
yeah.
him. As,
no,
well, I
kidding me.
Schoenbeck, that just means those guys recognized who you were.
I was on the campaign trail already there.
On the campaign trail already. So we talked about that a little bit, and so I'm going to do some blogging on that. I said I've got stuff coming up on the Mays Brothers, and I got waylaid by the Reptile Garden's 80th anniversary on Saturday
Let's
night.
Let's talk about that for a few minutes, because we had the Brocklesby, Johnny and Jeff were on the program talking with us, and you were actually there. Tell us how it went.
Well, I'd like to brag and say that my wife Mary and I were at the VIP table, which which only means that Johnny likes me.
Right.
And we were there with Mayor Allender, and he and his wife Shirley had a great story about he brought his family, some of his family in from other states, and took them to the Reptile Gardens to show them a piece of South Dakota culture. And in it, one of the reptile wrestlers, the gator wrestlers, got his hand snapped in the gator's mouth and uttered a word that we won't say on the air. And after that, everybody looked at Steve and he said, see, South Dakota culture, I told you. But, you know, it's an amazing institution. It's a family institution, and sometimes family institutions don't last very well.
Right, yeah.
And they're going on their third generation after starting in 1937 with Earl Brocklesby. And Jeff, the bean counter of the family, had a hilarious thing where he brought up a whole stack of receipts starting out with the first day of $3.85 in receipts, and wanted to go through the last 80 years. And Johnny's the PR guy, but they also have, you know, the CEO is Joe Meyerhauser, and he's a cousin, and you know, they just got family through this whole operation, and it's really an amazing thing that started with, I don't know what that would have been, $3.85. I think they charged 10 cents admission, so admission back in 1937. So would there have been 20 or 30 or 40 people in there? I think kids got in free, and last Mother's Day, they had over 3,000 in one day.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just a thriving, active business that's family-owned, which I love about it.
And they start them young in that family business, too. We talked about that in our conversation, and being just barely old enough to get in with the giant tortoise, I think, is where it all begins for them.
Yeah, at 12. And Johnny talks about, Johnny didn't do any gator wrestling seriously, but there was a point when, I don't know, he was about 13 or 14 or something, and all their gator wrestlers were unavailable for some reasons. So they put Johnny in, but they marked out of the 20 gators that were in the, you know, the pen out there, Earl decided that there were three that he thought Johnny would be fine with, and so they marked those with lipstick. Johnny had to be careful to when he dragged one of the gators up to work with it, to pick the one with the alligator with lipstick on it, which I just love.
Always pick the pretty one. That's
always pick the pretty one.
Kevin Wooster's blog is at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
See ya.